Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
You're on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Singapore is considered the myopia capital of the world, with studies showing 60% of Singaporean children will be myopic by age 12, with its incidence increasing to 80% when they reach 18. According to findings by Singapore National Eye Centre, in their myopia research group, as many as 90% of Singaporean adults are projected to be myopic by 2050, with 15 to 25% of these at risk of high myopia. Concerning, isn't it? We find out more about the prevalence and risks of myopia in children and how contact lenses can possibly help. Next on Health Suites with Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites with Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. I'm joined on the phone today by Dr. Cheryl Lee, ophthalmologist, the eye clinic by Dr. Cheryl Lee, to find out more about myopia, particularly in our children, and look at the option of contact lenses. Dr. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clarissa.
Now, although, of course, we do know that the prevalence of myopia in the population is pretty high, what about high myopia in the population?
Well, we have the highest number of myopic people in the world, and we also hold a gold medal for the highest prescriptions in the world. So, you know, well,
we don't like this award. We don't want it.
No, that's right. So we don't brag about it, but we brag about other things, right? So high myopia is really considered like 600 degrees and above.
Wow, so, that's a lot.
Yes, and the average myopia in Singapore is 700 degrees. It's quite stunning, the stat.
I was speechless, and that doesn't happen very often.
and the thing is, myopia is really very much a childhood disease. It's not like high blood pressure that goes on forever, that needs to be controlled forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it's so important that every child from the age of 4 years old has a proper check. And we talk into lifestyle modifications, ways to control the myopia. Because by the time they're about, let's say, 16, 17 years old, it's not going to get worse. So we just have to fight it for that 10, 12 years and we'll be fine.
Actually, it's interesting that you brought it up. I went from being 20/20 perfect vision when I was 6 years old to having to wear prescriptions to correct something like 450 degrees on both of my eyes by the time I was 15. But between then and now, I've only actually had to adjust my power prescription by maybe 50 or 60 degrees.
Exactly, because myopia is due to the lengthening of the eyeball. So it grows very much like the height of a child. It doesn't mean that if one is tall, one is myopic, but it's just an analogy to say that it's all about growth or the length of the eye. And that's why we should control it very much when we're young. It's not something that we wait till it reaches 300. There's no number before we start to control it. We should start controlling it from as little as like zero, right? And it's irreversible because once that length of eye, it's like our height, once we reach a certain height, we don't get any shorter. So myopia does not get better. And that's why it's so important to realize that one, myopia is irreversible. So in my hands, like if I see a child who's at 100 degrees, I fight to keep it at 100. Because if the child gets to 150, it never goes back to 100 again.
Right.
Right? And the second thing that parents really need to know is that it is controllable. Unlike, you know, in our time, we didn't know what we were supposed to do. Right? Our parents didn't know better.
Well, yeah, that's true. Our parents didn't know better, and our teachers would just put us in the front of the class. There, you're done. We fixed it. Okay.
Yeah. And I have a child. He's 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So very much for me, this work on myopia control is very much a passion. And I use him a little bit like, if you like, a model, a test.
A guinea pig.
Exactly. And so, you know, if I can get him to go out and play 2 hours a day in the sunshine, if I can get him off the iPad, if I can get him off the Nintendo, and there are ways to get around it, my job as a doctor is not just to prescribe medication or contact lenses, but really this whole talk about lifestyle modification.
Okay, now we'll come back to the whole issue of treating myopia through medical means. Let's talk about these lifestyle modifications that you've brought up.
So it's been well proven that any child who is not myopic, right, we're talking, you know, the two-year-olds, three-year-olds before primary school, if they could spend 2 hours outdoors in the sunshine, it makes a huge lot of difference because it makes the eyeball strong so that the eyeball doesn't grow longer. They make a wall of the eyeball strong. So sunshine is actually therapy in itself.
Okay.
Mirror time is a bad thing. So I think we were not made to be looking at things close up. Close up means anything that the hand can touch, which is reading, it can be Lego, iPad. And that's where that misconception is, because many parents would say, oh, reading is better than a device. But it's not. It's near versus far. Right? So what I've done, if it's a help, I feel that it's one way that I can help. If listeners could go on a website, it's called theeyeclinic.com.sg. I've written it myself. I've created it myself because I feel it's the only way that I can reach out and explain personally to parents. Because they mustn't go away thinking that an eye drop or in contact lens will make a difference. It's a bit like obesity. You can't just say, take a tablet and then I can eat whatever I want and I'm going to keep slim. So very much I'm like a personal trainer. I work with the child. I'm not there just to prescribe medication. I go, when I see a child in a clinic, I go through the timetable of the child, what they do for CCA. And during COVID, it's been really difficult because children spend way too much time at home. Sports activities have been cut down. And there's just way too much online learning.
Too much screen time.
Absolutely. And every child, once they learn to use an iPad or a computer, will swiftly go on to use YouTube and other online fun apps. So that's something, you know, as a parent, we really have to learn how to manage. And the other one that I would stress on is talking to the child and teaching the child what myopia is, and then they will take some responsibility for themselves.
Right. Now, the thing that I'm still quite amazed by is the fact that you're saying, go out, play outside, don't be in front of a screen, don't read. Because when I was a child, these were all the, you know, okay, my parents said, okay, it's 5 o'clock, go and play for an hour and come back. And
yes.
Then it is to the books, and I want you to read for 2 hours every day and improve your vocabulary and stuff like that.
Yes.
You're saying part of that is
not healthy.
Not healthy.
Yeah, and it's also because of the way, you know, our education system is and what is expected of us, right? So my husband is Swiss, I'm Singaporean, and you can see very obviously how we manage the child. Very differently. My husband feels pain if I expect him to do some homework on a Saturday afternoon. With my husband, it would have been outdoors from morning to evening, and it's play, and they learn through play and talking to their parents.
Right, okay.
So there's no iPad at dinner time, you know. So all that, like I said, if the listeners would go on, either it's the Facebook or the website, theeyeclinic.com.sg, there's lots of practical tips. What I also put on for the kids with the audio books, so I put on the one that Mark, my son, finds useful. So I try it out on him, and if I find that it works to keep him off the iPad time or screen time, then I know it works.
Right. Okay, now let's talk about our children who already have myopia and contact lenses. Now, I remember when contact lenses first came out, I was a child, but at that point, the ophthalmologist was saying, no, contact lenses aren't for children, they are for adults, you'll have to wait until you're what? I can't remember, I think I was 13 or 14, something like that, before they would even fit me for my first pair of contact lenses.
Yes. So I think, well, it's quite different now because these contact lenses are made for children. That's the first thing. They're not there just to help a child see, but it controls the myopia. So it has a medical benefit. The other thing is that in Singapore, so I think it's also country-related, contact lenses are usually fitted by optometrists, and eye doctors normally prescribe atropine. So that's the way that our system works. So that may be the concerns of some parents. And also, if you were to ask some eye doctors, they have no experience with fitting contact lenses in children. Right? So that's the way it is. So at the eye clinic, what I've done as of I would say about 5 years ago, our aim was to have a contact lens clinic for children that's supervised by the doctor. So because we're looking really at things such as dry eyes, we're looking to make sure that the child has got good hygiene techniques and really spending time with the child, not just about putting the contact lenses on, but also explaining why the child is on contact lenses. What has been very interesting is that there's been some good studies, and they have shown the safety of contact lens wear in children. And I can believe that because many, in fact, kids, when they're started young, do very well because they're monitored or they're watched over by their parents. Unlike, you know, a teenager or an adult who doesn't really know how to put a contact lens on or they've been taught, you know, very swiftly or they buy the contact lenses online. So the statistics have been very good because they've looked at children over a span of 7 years, so that's pretty long. And they found that there was no, you know, there was nothing that was blinding, nothing that was of big concern at all to the kids or parents. So I think it can be managed. It just has to be well managed.
Okay, now for parents who have just brought their children, you know, they suspect their child might have some myopia, might have some vision issues. They bring that child to you. Do you first go glasses, then contact lenses? Or do you go straight to contact lenses?
Right. The first thing I would do is, so we have two aims. One aim is to help the child see better. And the second aim is to stop the myopia from increasing. So we've got two different aims. If we were to just put on normal glasses, then all we're doing is we're helping the child to see. Mm. We're not doing anything to stop that eye from growing longer.
Right.
And on an average, the increase in myopia is 100 degrees per year.
Okay.
It's like height.
That's a lot, by the way.
It's a lot. So if we get a child who's 100 degrees in primary one, and then we say, oh, let's not do anything. Let's wait to see if it will increase. What is the chance it will not increase? It's like saying, let's see if he'll be taller next year. And therefore, you know, what we've seen in the kids in the clinic, you just have to start super early. It's really like obesity. The child is fat. You don't go, well, continue as you are and let's drink all the Coke you want and let's just see if you get fatter next year. You've got to nip it in the bud and stop it because it's not funny when it keeps going up 100, 150 every year because it keeps just continues with the same bad habits.
Okay.
So I would start off as a no-brainer, right? And for sure, the glasses to see, and nowadays there are also glasses that control myopia.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is single-handedly, then they don't do enough to control the myopia. I could start with an atropine eye drop as well. That one is an absolute no-brainer. Some children choose contact lenses for lifestyle reasons, right, or aesthetic reasons. So all that can be discussed with the child. And children nowadays are not like, you know, at our time, we need to discuss with them, right? Mummy, daddy making a decision is just not good enough.
When did that happen?
Yes. And I think if we could get the child on board as well into the discussion, the whole problem gets controlled better. The kind of talking down to the child just doesn't work anymore. I think they rebel, which is even worse.
Right. Okay, now let's talk about potential complications parents might be afraid of, perhaps, with contact lenses in their young children.
So I think the complications that parents think of would be the same as if they were, as parents, wear contact lenses. So, example, dry eyes during the daytime, infections, the same issues, really. So what we have found, and also I think Cooper Vision did a very good 7-year study, was that there were no concerns in my clinic, and in that 7-year test, they did not have any infections that was of concern. In other words, that made the vision worse. With me in the clinic, I'm a little bit paranoid because I get very worried with any child, you know, whether it's contact lenses or earrings or anything that they wear, right? Whether it's a tattoo, anything like this. So what I would do with every child is that, one, the infections don't normally come from the hands because they wash their hands before they put the contact lens on.
Mm.
It comes from the eyelashes. So, you know, whether we're talking about a teenager who wears mascara, eyelash extensions, we're talking about a young child who's got allergies, and you know what children are like. They play with sand and they rub their eyes.
Yep.
So keeping the eyelashes clean is just so important. So I teach them how to scrub and clean, really very much like how we clean mascara every evening. I've got a brush. It's like a toothbrush, if you like. It's kind of like it, but it's for the eyelashes, the tea tree oil. I scrub the eyelashes once every 6 months, a bit like going to the dentist. And I keep them on a specific omega-3 for dry eyes. Because what happens is that with anybody, the minute that we wear a contact lens, the eye gets dry. And when that contact lens rubs against the front of the eye because it's dry, then there's a risk of an abrasion. And if there's an abrasion, that's when we get an infection. So these are little details, but they make a difference. It's not just about slapping a contact lens on and hoping for the best. It's a commitment.
Right. And the younger you get them, the easier for them for it to become second nature.
Absolutely. And we find that these little kids that are taken care of, and once they're like, you know, bigger, when they're old enough to wear makeup and all that, they have very good habits.
Right. Of course. Because it's already instilled.
Yes. And we underestimate the kids. I'm actually quite surprised. You know, parents would say things like, ah, he's too young. But when I talk to the child, I realize, hey, if you give him the responsibility, let him prove to you that he can.
Right.
I've got little kids who put in their eye drops themselves, you know, every night before bed.
That is quite spectacular.
And also with the contact lenses, there are two types. One that the kids wear in the daytime, so very much as adults do. They wear it in the daytime and then they take it off when they reach home. And then there's another one, which is called Ortho K. It's a night lens. So they wear it before they go to bed, take it out in the morning, and the spectacle-free and contact lens-free the whole day.
Mm, okay.
So rather like wearing braces, you know, at night.
This has been a fascinating conversation. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I think you've given parents of children with myopia some serious food for thought.
Yes, I would say don't, you know, I think it is a responsibility of every parent to have the kid's eye checked from the age of 4 years old, have it checked at least every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute the child is myopic, just don't let it get worse.
Right.
Act on it.
We've got it. We've been speaking with Dr. Cheryl Lee, ophthalmologist, the Eye Clinic by Dr. Cheryl Lee. Dr. Lee, thank you so much for the time, the information. It's been a fascinating conversation.
Thank you, Clarissa.
Literally quite an eye-opener.
I'm glad we see eye to eye.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.